There's some incredible instructions in Deuteronomy that apply just as much today. Verse number 4, it says, "Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." It's a separation of sexes, and there needs to be a separation. I don't care who tells you that this isn't important anymore. It's in the Word. It's going to stay in the Word. "If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, or the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young." God has some concern about the birds. "But thou shalt in any ways let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days." Can you imagine? "When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement or railing for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence." So if you're building a house, or say you're building a church, there's got to be some railings so people don't fall. The thing I'm afraid of the most is that we've been taken out of the world and we have been transformed by God. But a little more time in the world and we can revert right back to what we used to be. And that's why we have to be in that place where God wants us to be. 1 Corinthians 9th chapter. Paul said in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. His worst enemy, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, Paul, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Glory to God. I'm trying to lay a foundation here. If you'll go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, please. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 5. "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Watch out. Watch out. Because you can be converted back from what you were. Because some smooth-talking person said, no, that isn't important anymore. I was at lunch today, and I can't get this out of my mind. I was at a salad bar, and someone said, "Brother Schumacher, how are you?" And I looked at her, and And she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "I'm sorry." Well, she grew up in this church. I said, "Well, why don't you come back to church?" She said, "No, I'm going to church." And I thought to myself, my, there's no railings. She's reverted back to the old nature, and she doesn't even know it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about the bread. You worry about the Pharisees and the Sadducees who can change your doctrine and tell you you're all right. It's so subtle. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch. God, keep us. God, put up a railing around each and every one of us, a barrier of your spirit and fire, Lord, that would not allow us, God, to be deceived by the things that are happening, not only in the world, but even in our own ranks. That there's a difference between us and everyone else. Your word declares it, and you're pleased with it. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to Mark, the first chapter? Mark chapter 1 and verse number 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished. They were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as a scribe. You know, there are so many religions that teach, but they don't teach with authority because they don't have any doctrine. But when you have doctrine, when you have truth, you can say, "Bless God, this is the word of God. Believe it." They were amazed. Here's somebody who is finally saying, "This is truth." And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Are you come to destroy us with this doctrine and all of these restraints? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." You see, church, we have to have sound doctrine in order to have the authority that we need in this church. Because if we water down the doctrine, all we're doing is we're playing church, and then we become frustrated Christians, because when we need the authority, when we need the healing, when we need the protection, it's not there. It's not a new thing. Paul said it wasn't done in a corner. And then if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 1. "Give hear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the shower upon the grass. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto your God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of the old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. You want to know what real doctrine is? Let's go back and ask the fathers, the established ones. Here God has said doctrine or instruction drops as rain. It's like dew. His speech was as a dripping dew and as rain on a tender plant. So there was the constant flowing of communication between God and his people. Not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but there was this drip, 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 a saturation of God's Spirit all the time because he wanted the doctrine, the truth to be with us. That we need to think about it. We need to be surrounded by it, you see. A constant refreshing of his instructions to those that he loves. My doctrine shall drop as rain. This steady drip, 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 always keeping his people refreshed and informed as to the will of God. It's a wonderful thing when you're feeling the presence of God in the middle of the week, a dripping, a dripping, a dripping. And because of his doctrine falling like the rain, his people received it as a tender plant and grew and were refreshed all of the time. There's a problem with staying refreshed. There really is. But if we espouse the doctrine, God's saying there's going to be that anointing or dripping. Deuteronomy 32 and 13 says, he made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flint rock. But then they were no longer mindful of God. Other things got their attention. And verse 28 says, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And so there has to be somebody who keeps saying, now let's keep thinking about God. Let's keep holding on. Let's embrace the things that God has given us. Let's not let go of the things that God has shown us. And I can't tell you, church, how it grieves me to see somebody who had this truth and wants let it go. It's not important. Because God's people would no longer receive doctrine, the instructions of God, which fell like gentle rain and blessings. God said in Deuteronomy 32 and 23, I will heap mischief upon them, hunger, heat, the teeth of beasts, the poison of serpents, the sword without end, and terror within. When the rain stopped because they would not listen to doctrine, then the trouble came. That's what happens. If people aren't teachable, if they don't have a teachable spirit, well, then God is going to have to set up circumstances within their life. You see, you belong to God. And anybody who tries to take you away from God, God's not going to just rest and say, oh, I hope they come back. No, no. God is going to hunt them down. He's going to follow them and say, listen, I want you better come back here right now. 2 Timothy, please. 4th chapter, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, or want to tickle your ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And when we do that, we see some results. Brother Rodriguez came up to me before service and said they just had an awesome Spanish service this afternoon between services. And I mean, there are people who are just weeping under the presence of God. And one guy is getting out in a short period of time. He's the guy who plays the guitar. And he's going to Mexico to start a church. Do you know why? Because these gentlemen and this lady go in there every afternoon on Sundays and preach truth to them. It gets a hold of them. God's saying, broadcast the doctrine. Hallelujah. You know, I remember being in Germany with the Mackies, and we went to one little German town that is noted for wood carvings, and I bought Brother Mackey a little wood carving of a man who was a sower. He was putting his hand in a sack of seed and throwing it out like this. And I said, Brother Mackey, you are a sower of the seed. There isn't any position that's higher on the face of the earth than somebody who will broadcast this truth, because there are too many people keeping their mouths shut. Whether it's convenient or not, we have the authority. Don't be afraid to admonish those that are around us. Don't be afraid to say, what's the problem? Is it judgmental? Yes. But we're in a position to judge because we have authority and we have truth. And if we don't say something, who is going to? Explain that they're in error, or give them a false sense of security because you actually said nothing. Oh, God bless you. No, no, no. With long suffering, even if they heard it a dozen times before, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that word sound means uncorrupted truth. But after their own lust, especially for those things that are forbidden, they shall heap to themselves teachers, and there's plenty of them, teachers who will tickle your ear. Let's start a church, folks. They will gather around them teachers to say what they want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and embrace traditions of men, which make them feel good without sacrifice or any kind of obedience. And it just won't work. It's a dangerous place to be, to put down sound doctrine and embrace false doctrine, which pacifies the flesh, because the flesh always wants to hear something that's easier to conform to. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Would you turn to 2 Thessalonians? Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verse number 10. Starting in verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's how we were sanctified. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or of our epistles. Stand fast. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy of our soul wants to send us strong delusion. Did the Lord really say? Do you think it's really important too? And we can overcome that because we got the word. But if God would send us a strong delusion because we didn't love the truth, then we're in trouble. And what's amazing to me is I've seen people let go of this doctrine, and there's no conviction whatsoever. Could it be that they're in delusion because they never loved this thing in the first place? Proverbs, the 4th chapter, making you work. Proverbs 4, verse number 1. Hear ye children the instructions of the father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved of the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and when thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She shall deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. My Lord, he's saying, wow, if you will do this, I'm going to prolong your life. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bless you. Amen. Is this serious stuff? Absolutely. It's important. Well, see, we're trying to get a whole bunch of people in. And, you know, they're not going to like what we preach. Wrong. What saved you? I came in a church that preached the truth. And that's where I'm going out. God said, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Hallelujah. There are many rewards for holding to the good sound doctrine. Proverbs 10, 4 and 10 says, the years of thy life shall be many. And if we endure to the end, heaven will be our home. Isaiah 29 and 24 says, they also that err in the spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn doctrine. The word learn here in the verse means to learn by the rod or punishment. Train them up in the way they should go, and in when they become old, they shall not depart from it. Hold on to it, parents. There are those who want sound, uncorrupted doctrine, and because of their openness and love for God's teaching, God piles on blessings and piles on blessings. We may not even be equipped to do much, but one thing every one of us can do is to hold on to the truth. And then God can pile on the blessings and pile. Well, they're not doing anything. They're holding on to truth. Don't you come to me, Sadducee. Don't you come to me, Pharisee, and tell me these things aren't important. Don't you come to me. We're living in a day when not everybody wants truth. We understand that. The Holy Ghost will lead us into all truth, but we can overrule the Holy Ghost within us. There are teachers that want to please those they teach rather than stand for truth, no matter if it pleases or not. God's looking for those who really want truth. He is. He's scanning your brain all the time. Some of us, it's an easy scan. But he's looking to see whether or not. Are you going to hold it? I mean, it's just the little things. Are you going to do what's right? Income tax time? Tithing? Hallelujah. Would you turn to Galatians, the first chapter? A week ago Wednesday, I preached a message. And I don't even remember what I preached. Once it's over, it's over. And, you know, I think it's in there someplace. But at the end of it, I said, I hope I haven't offended anybody in here. I just feel like this is what God wants me to tell you. Somebody came from the back of the room and said, Pastor, don't you ever apologize for teaching good doctrine. Don't you ever do that. He said, I just visited another church and some friends that we've known for years, and we're just shocked. We're just shocked at how far gone they are, and they don't even know it, you see. And I tell you what, you have to hear this over and over again in order to make sure you love this, you love this, you love this. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, a very common or familiar scripture. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's strong language. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now it's really emphasizing this. He's really strong. When we start to repeat scriptures, it's very, very important. For do I persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Not half-baked truth, not a portion of truth, not truth when it's convenient, but the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and that's what God wants. Amen. Not a watered-down truth, not homogenized, not stirring together. Isaiah 28:9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, to those that want more than a 15-minute dissertation and a handshake. Someone who wants all of the truth at whatever it costs you. It doesn't matter. Just tell me. I love new converts. Tell me, what do you want me to do? What's proper for me to do? Glory to God. Aren't you glad that we don't hide our doctrine, but, you know, you go in the atrium and it's up on a wall and we sing scriptures and we're not ashamed of it because it's the power of God. Hallelujah. Take a look at Matthew, the 7th chapter. I remember sitting in a Bible study a lot of years ago, and someone read this scripture, and tears fell on my Bible because I saw this so clearly. Even though I was never baptized, I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, I saw, my, there's got to be more than just being around God Says in Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone, this is Jesus, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You have to understand here that, yes, there are miracles, and there is even prophecy in churches that don't have full doctrine, full truth. Because what God says is, I'm going to honor whatever section or area or principle in the Bible that you will espouse. But nevertheless, just because you espouse this area or that area doesn't mean you still have full salvation. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I've said this before. The word knew here is the same word that was in Genesis when Adam knew Eve. And it really represents you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. And the storms come, you know, it's going to stand. But if you're building on sand, the trouble comes, it's not going to work. The people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because Jesus didn't waver. He taught them as one having authority. He didn't change his mind, even though he could read their minds. Oh, thank God we can't read each other's minds. Oh, can you imagine that I'm standing up here preaching the Word of God and I'm reading some of your minds? It would change my message in the middle of it, trying to conform to this section and then try to conform to this section. Oh, and I know you have problems with it, But Jesus, even though he could read everybody's minds in the synagogue, in the congregation, he still stayed with the authority of the doctrine. Because that's what gives the power. Hallelujah. I'm glad that early church, like in Acts 2 and 42, says, continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Oh, this doctrine is going to irritate some people. So make up your mind. It's going to do that. So what? Do you have to get along with everybody in this world? You know, people in and out of the church, it's going to bother them. What's really scary is for some people that are in the church having problems with doctrine. The apostles were put in prison, but the angel opened the door. Why? Because I believe they held the doctrine. Want to be rescued? Want to be healed? Want to prosper? We hold the doctrine. We hold the principles. But when we start to compromise these things, God's saying, I'm sorry, I cannot, like Brother E said, I cannot lie, I cannot perform if you do not respond. Acts, the 5th chapter. I'm having as much scripture as Brother Mackey. Acts chapter 5. And verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did not we straightway command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Exactly. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to teach his doctrine, and we're going to bring his blood, because you got to get to the place where you too say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I think that's a good idea. What do you think? Paul just couldn't go grocery shopping without witnessing to somebody in the store, because that was his nature. False doctrines drove him nuts, and it should drive you nuts as well. Truth has no value if it isn't given to somebody. Be instant in season and out, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Acts, the 17th chapter. Verse number 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputing, he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him, then certain philosophers, Epicureans, and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Apparathus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all of the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of all of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." He couldn't stand it. He just couldn't stand it. He saw a whole city given unto idolatry, and he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. Brother Woodward said at our district conference, he said, "You know, sometimes we feel more comfortable going after those who have a little bit of religion, because we don't want to have conflict with them. We don't want to get to the place where we scrap over scripture." But he said, sometimes the best people to approach are those who don't have any knowledge of God at all. And they really do want God. I passed a neighbor this morning as we were going to church, and they were starting to work in the yard, and obviously they aren't churchgoers. They're just about to move in, and there's an opportunity to talk to them about God. I don't have to get them unsaved. I just have to get them to the place where they realize they need God. Glory to God. Now, sound doctrine must be taught over and over and over and over again. Because all that has to happen for this church to revert back to where we were is just not hear it anymore. That was so vividly displayed to me about a year after I came into the church. Oh, I worked in a bank, and I went systematically to every person, whether it was the president of the bank or the loan officers or vice president. I went to every one of them and all of the tellers and told them about my experience with God. And by one, they started to back off. And when are you taking your break? Yeah, I'm busy at that time. And but then about a year later, you know, talked to them all. A year later, somebody came up to me and was about to tell me a filthy joke. And I said, "What's wrong with you? Oh, are you still into that religion thing?" You see, some people think, you know, we've changed. You know, we've changed. We've been watered down. But you know what? We need to hear this over and over and over again. Hallelujah. I haven't talked to them for a year, and they're thinking, well, glory to God. Amen. These false doctrines, they need to be exposed for what they really are. I know, we want to keep peace, but it'd be a horrible thing one day our relatives stand before judgment because we just didn't want to rock the boat. I call my sister on a regular basis and say, "Where are you?" "Well, I still love God." "Well, what are you doing about that?" You know, "Well, you're going to get yourself in a fight." And it's like, you know, well, I love her too much to keep my mouth shut, folks. There's some people that you love too much to keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. Truth will execute judgment on false doctrine. But if you don't have truth, it'll never execute judgment on those that espouse false doctrine. Glory to God. Just two more scriptures. Could we get the band up here? Ephesians 4 and 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." To edify, teach. "Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You know, a lot of words, but what it's saying is we better stick together and hold on to doctrine. You know, when a new convert gets saved, you know what we ought to do is we ought to make a circle, arm and arm around them to protect them until they finally get grounded, that they're not exposed by some Pharisee or some Sadducee. Don't take them to another church someplace that doesn't espouse the same because there's a good band playing over there. Because we have a responsibility. You want to have a perfect picture of that? Go out to the pond and see some of those geese, how they're surrounding those babies and they're always watching. The little geese are eating, but the older, mature geese are keeping their necks up to sound an alarm should something else come. And some of us older ones should say, "No, no, we don't do that. We don't go there. We're protecting this thing. We're holding on to the things that are important." Glory to God. Okay, I'm done. Would you stand, please? Church, I love this thing. I've spent the last 36 years defending it. And it's not for nothing. Glory to God. And in these last times, as we heard this morning, Jesus is coming soon. This is not a time to waver. This is not a time to take a time out and say, well, you know, I don't know if these things, rethink these things. Are they really important anymore? No, they were important enough to save you and keep you all of these years. They're important enough in order to see the rapture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stick together. Every joint supplieth what this whole body needs. No. You're not doing that, are you? That's not the way you learned it. You young people, hold on to this thing. Oh, I know your friends don't understand, and I know you don't seem to fit in with everybody else. But the Bible says that if you'll do this, days are going to be added, and there's going to be a drip, drip, drip of the Holy Ghost that's going to land on you, and you're going to find things are going to be blessed and so much easier for you. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto God, would you? About 10 years ago, my wife and I were driving down south on the expressway. I think we were around Kenosha. I even remember just about where we were. And I said to my wife, I don't know why God has put in my heart so strongly to hold on to doctrine. I know there have been other men who have let go things, and they're wondering why their churches aren't growing, why there isn't a power. And I said to her, maybe it's because I'm one of those stubborn Germans, you know? And when I said that, the Holy Ghost just filled the car. Folks, we need to be tenacious about this thing. We need to be stubborn about it. I shall not be moved. Now, I cannot put a barrier around all of this church in order to keep you from hearing things and expose you from people with corrupt sayings and corrupt doctrine. But my responsibility is to preach to you sound doctrine. So when somebody comes to you with a false doctrine, you immediately reject it. I don't want that. I don't want that. That's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I was born. And I'm going to stay true. Israel was not a nation for almost 2,000 years, but God kept them true to their race. And if God can keep Israel, God can keep the church pure and sanctified. It's a strong doctrine. I read it this morning. It said in Isaiah 61, they shall be called holy people and the redeemed. First holy and then redeemed. Love it. Embrace it. Keep it. Let's be the church that God can really be proud of. Amen.
to God, glory to God. The altar's open, would you come?